He made some moves. We talked all about him yesterday. They just didn't work. And you lost the baseball game to the best pitcher, starting pitcher in baseball, and the best relief pitcher in baseball. Had a tough go of it.
Yeah. Tropical Storm and I were out last night grabbing a bite to eat, and there were some people sitting around the bars. We were just kind of waiting for food. And they were like, oh, Jose Mesa game. Oh, I'm just like, come on, guys. It's not that bad.
Well, it's because it wasn't a game seven.
Well, maybe
or a
that's
game
why.
Five in this case. Otherwise, it's that and more.
You give him the ball back today, right? No one
without
has confidence
question.
That you, okay, I just want to make sure
we're
all good with that.
I might think about not giving it to him in the eighth, though.
If he gets
in
trouble?
Depends on the game, though.
Are you flipping the rotation on so you feel like you might have somebody who's ready to go in case things go sideways with the first two batters with him? I don't think you can do that. I think you got to let him play out, even if he struggles with one or two batters. Going for a save. Are you with me on this? Are you following along with what I'm saying?
I think.
I'm just, they didn't have anybody up the other day, too. It wasn't like they were going to somebody
else.
That's
their guy, man.
And I got to be honest, I don't know if I would have anybody up again today, but you can't stomach a loss.
The tough situation there is you brought him into us, and again, we all understand why. But you brought him into a situation that he's not used to. Okay, you brought him into trouble. You brought him in with guys on base. He gave up a ball that probably should have been a base hit, but Stephen Kwan made a great play on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like somebody smashed the ball, at least not until Carpenter.
Man,
he smashed that
ball.
One. He smashed that one. You don't go away from Class A. You don't go away from a bullpen that's been nails all year. In fact, Vogt had some thoughts about the bullpen as you head into game three of this series. It's cut number five from Stephen Vogt. We'll hear it in moments.
You make it sound like you're teeing up a record.
We're playing
the hits. Here's cut number five.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stephen Vogt with cut number five. You don't go away from that bullpen. You don't go away from Class A. You do what you have to do. And if Alex Cobb can give you five today and you get to the bullpen, great. I'd prefer that Cobb not give you a two or three, Andy. Then you've got a decision to make.
Yeah,
you know,
you're going to go
Cantillo. You're going to go Gavin Williams. You're going to go Eli Morgan. What are you going to do?
I'm going to worry about it when I get there. Right now, I mean, and he's got everybody ready. I think it's interesting, though, that he said, I trust these guys whether they're up against a righty or a lefty. Do you have the same philosophy when it comes to hitting? That you'll put a righty up there against a righty or a lefty. Like
he's kind of managed platoon in certain spots all year, right field in particular. Center field a little bit, just a little from time to time. But you're putting Lane Thomas out there now. He's going to be in center field.
I'm not taking him.
You're going to go Brennan, or you're going to go Noel in right field. It's going to be. Or you could go Tyler. You could go Thomas in right field and put Tyler Freeman in center, but he's dinged up, so maybe he's out. So Angel Martinez taking his spot. Would you put Martinez in? He played well when he came up. Downtown Tommy is downtown.
What's up, Tommy?
Conveniently named.
You guys are the best, by the way. And your analyst of the Guardians has just been impeccable.
Thank
you. The one thing that I kind of thought about after the game is, and no one's really talked about it, when he pinch hit for Hedges and put Brennan in, you know, I thought about it afterwards. I thought, you know, maybe that's why Class 8, I mean, one, we don't really know who made the call for that pitch. And again, we're really picking here. I mean,
absolutely.
It's hard to win a game when you don't score any runs. But I would have liked to have Hedges in that ninth inning, and maybe not a pinch hit for a lot of reasons. One, you had a runner on third, and maybe Class A doesn't feel real comfortable throwing that ball a little lower with Naylor. Just maybe want to comment on that. And I'm excited for today. I'm also a little excited to see the fans there in Detroit. I mean, they haven't had a playoff game. Was it 10 years, guys?
14, yeah, 10 years.
Wow!
And Tommy, their season just changed like crazy. You know, I mean, they weren't even on the radar, and then they just got hot and they played really well. And obviously, that's continued. and they've give A.J. Hinch credit. He's managed the heck out of that team, like Stephen Vogt has managed the heck out of our team.
Well, you know, we were playing them, and I remember it was in July, and they traded Flaherty, and they traded another good player. They were ready to maybe even trade the guy that pitched. I forget his name. The guy that pitched. So they were thinking about trading away some of their players, and then they got hot.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about a comeback? And yeah, you know, you're always afraid to play a hot team. It's kind of no different than the Padres. You know, they're a hot team. I mean, I think the Dodgers are, but you know, the Dodgers aren't playing well. You know, the thing is, if we can get in, the Yankees aren't playing well. But I think you guys will agree this is a key game, right?
Got to have it, Tommy, because you know you don't want to see Skubal again in the series, and you will, you know, if it gets extended. So there you go, Tommy. Thank you.
You're the best.
Thank you, Downtown Tommy.
Downtown Tommy.
Uptown Jeff.
Like that.
Uptown Jeff?
Sure, why not?
What do you think?
No, I don't know.
Tigers have announced that Keider Montero will get the start for today. Keider Montero.
A rookie pitcher who has been really had some really good moments for them, actually. And I would assume, Dan, you tell me, I would assume A.J. Hinch is thinking that's more than just an opener.
No, that's three innings. Well, he's looking at that kid going, if I get three innings out of him,
okay, but that's,
life is good.
But that's okay. To me, in this day and age, an opener means you're pitching one, maybe two, and you're getting, you know, and then you're going to get to the long man who might give you three or four.
Yeah,
Montero could go deep if they wanted to.
Coming out of the pen for the last three appearances or so, 2.2 innings, three innings, and two innings. So they are definitely looking at him and saying, "All right, go out there."
Take a look earlier in the season. He actually had some, and you're right. My guess is that's exactly what they're thinking. However, he's had some pretty good starts this year.
Oh, absolutely. But I think this is get me one time through the order.
Yeah, so the Guardians have seen him once. When you look through the lineup, Jimenez has a hit against him. Martinez has two hits against him. Rocchio has a hit against him. Otherwise, everybody else is looking for a hit. Who's facing him the most time? Kwan is facing the most times, four times, 0 for 4.
Well, that's not good.
Well, again, small sample size.
This is fascinating, isn't it? I mean, this is kind
it's
of fun.
Best.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
The best.
It is.
You can't beat playoff baseball.
Montero against Colorado had a three-hit shutout, which is the key game for him. Since then, he's only gone five innings in one start. So we'll see what they do. He hasn't gone deep since that nine-inning game. But, man, he was cooking against Colorado that game.
He struck out seven against the Guardians last time we saw him. So Fry, Jimenez, Manzardo, Bo Naylor, Noel, Ramirez, and Schneeman, all victims.
And he pitched in game one. He went two innings, he gave up one hit, struck out three.
And there you have it.
Bullpen chaos. As A.J. Hinch called it, Tarek Skubal and bullpen chaos.
Right,
and
so
that's what you're going to see.
So he's a right-hander. What are you going to do in right field? You're going to play Will Brennan? I would assume that means you're going to DH Kyle Manzardo. And that gives you David Fry and Jonkenzie Noel on the bench.
Yeah, and both those guys have struck out against them the last time they faced them.
Would you agree, though? You're going to DH, you're going to start, try and beat the starting pitcher?
Yeah.
Go Manzardo?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Yeah.
You're going to go Will Brennan?
Yes.
Or are you going to go Martinez in center and slide Lane Thomas over to right?
Well, Martinez does have two hits against him.
What are you thinking, Dano? What do you think, Andy?
I mean, who do you feel better about playing center field? I mean, Lane Thomas really misplayed that fly ball in that last game. I mean, that was ugly. I mean, he gets
and
a couple.
Martinez is an infielder.
All right, and Martinez is an infielder. So you don't have a straight center fielder because you left Miles Straw off the roster. So you can kind of throw that idea
out. Well, you left Miles Straw off the season.
Yes.
So.
So, yeah, you could throw that
think,
idea
I don't
out
think
the
he
window.
Was your answer for a playoff start.
Well, but it.
Though he's a terrific defensive center fielder.
I would have liked him on the bench as a terrific defensive center fielder / pinch runner when I need somebody with a little bit more haste to him. So, alas, here we are. Maybe you keep Lane Thomas out there and just hope you can kind of shift your way through center field and cross your fingers. Because
it's an interesting center field to play.
Do you DH Martinez?
That's not a bad idea.
Why not?
I don't think so. You DH Manzardo.
Yeah, you're right.
Martinez has had success against him. That's why I'm saying that.
They're not going to do that. They're going to DH Manzardo. I can't wait till the lineup comes out.
Do you dare put Martinez at shortstop?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Yeah, you already said Alex Cobb, ground ball pitcher, Rocchio, shortstop. Done.
Makes sense to me, but you know,
makes perfect sense to me.
I'm just throwing ideas.
You're an idea man, Chuck.
Well, sometimes, the other thing is, how long do you think they're gonna? How long is he last? 4 innings?
Montero?
Yeah.
If he goes 4, by God, that'd be a stretch.
I'd be shocked.
I think. Yeah.
I think 2 to 3.
So if you want Martinez in against him,
know that he's capable of, if he's going, that they could leave him out there. It could be one of those things. Hey, well, why change it? He's going. Let's go. He's gone through 3. They haven't scored. Good. Welcome to the 4th.
Time's the lineup come out. Now I want a lineup. Get me a lineup card. I need a pencil and a scorecard and the lineup.
Pencils. I remember those.
Get me a pencil without an eraser because I am confident. The tiny ones, the little golf pencils.
It's all you need.
10 cents. They say Cleveland Indians on the
outside. All you need.
I don't think they made them for the Guardians. So.
Andrew Siciliano is busy getting ready for the Browns game, but he's a diehard Guardians fan. We got to get his thoughts on both. He's next on Baskin and Phelps. You win, okay. You're hanging tough. We'll see where it goes. The gentleman who will be calling that game for us on the Browns Radio Network joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He also happens to be a diehard Guardians fan. He's Mr. Andrew Siciliano.
Hello, Andrew.
Good morning, guys. Hey, correct me with my calendar. It is the Rock and Roll Hall, is that next week or in 2 weeks?
It's the 19th.
Okay.
So 10 days from today.
Next week. Okay. I got to work on that.
You'll be in town.
Saturday night, right?
Yeah. You'll be in town on the 20th.
All right, we got to work on that. Maybe I could, you know, Fife's no longer there. May rest in peace. Maybe I could take his spot.
You'd do well. You would do well.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. You should wear a tribe hat, by the way, back in the day.
Maybe we could auction you off for charity so you could go with somebody. Want to do that?
No, I was just thinking, you know, the height thing.
Oh.
You know.
There it is. But before we get to the Browns.
Five foot assassin with a rough neck business. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You can fill like gravity. I don't think he's ever had a cavity either. Have you had a cavity, Andrew? You could fill in.
I have, actually. Yeah, I'm not. As a kid, I wasn't good with the brushing.
Alex Cobb will make his 4th start as a Guardian today. He hasn't pitched a game since September 1st. His fingers appear to be healthy. Right move, wrong move.
That is such an odd sentence to say. Jeez. I mean, I would have had Ben Lively on the roster, but that's just me. I'm a bit anxious. I'm still going over my head the idea that you needed Class A to get out of the 8th, and then you have him sit there, even though it was a quick inning. Still, I'm not comfortable with that. I am convinced.
And he gets the first 2 outs of the 9th inning without any problems?
Yeah, I know. If they had gotten out of the 9th, I would have bet every dollar in my pocket, which who carries cash these days is not that much, that they were going to walk it off in the bottom of the 9th. Like, I just knew it in every ounce of my being. It didn't happen, but today is a nice day. I heard it was a good day. I think Hammy was on somewhere yesterday, and he said the players get over these games far faster than we do, and he is right in that regard. And let's move on. Let's move on and go get a win in Detroit.
You like the Guardians
at home?
Do you still
in
like
Detroit? Yes, in Detroit.
It's all the same. Same time zone. Are you confident in the Guardians to be able to win this series?
Yes, absolutely.
5 or 4?
Look. I'd prefer 4, but the idea that they were going to waltz to the World Series undefeated, I think, is foolish, and that's the way you got to look at it. Step back and breathe and go big picture. I think we'd feel a lot differently if they just lost 5-2, right, on Monday. That would feel different. It's the way they lost, obviously, that makes it feel worse, but today's a new day. I am, as you guys hopefully have heard a little bit with the Browns, I'm always going to be as optimistic as humanly possible, and I'm the same with that this week as well.
Keiter Montero starting for the Tigers, so they're going righty. We probably won't see him for five innings, but he's capable. Steven Vogt all year has said, hey, I'm gonna put a lineup out there to defeat the starting pitcher. Does that hold true in a bullpen game?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, we had that issue Saturday, right? I mean, the Tigers pulled their guy so quickly, and you're like, well, why is Noel in there? I am all for putting your best lineup out there regardless, and I would also look at it this way, is that if your best lineup, even if it's not a bullpen game, knocks the guy out early, then, you know, you're going to have to make lineup decisions early if you're going to play the lefty-righty nonsense. But I would always assume that you're going to hit well and get the other team into the bullpen early. Who are we talking about? I haven't seen the lineup yet.
We haven't either.
It's not okay. I didn't think so.
All right.
I'd like to see Manzardo get in that batter, too.
Yeah.
That's been the theme of the show so far.
Yeah.
Just so you know. All right, let's switch gears. Let's talk about the bread and butter here. We'll talk about the Browns. Your thoughts on how they can hit the reset button going into this game in Philly?
That's a fascinating question, isn't it? I would love to see, and I am on Team Zach Zinter. He has a bright future. I'm not calling for any one benching specifically, but, you know, if Michael Dunn, who was up and active last week for the first time all season, is truly healthy, I would love to see how that offensive line looks with him at right guard, which is talking what can change, right? Because that's what Nathan and I were talking about in the fourth quarter last week when it became apparent. When it became apparent that they were going to lose the game, it's like, well, what can change? That's one thing. The quarterback change is not happening. I don't think a play caller change is happening, nor, by the way, do I think a play caller change should happen. I am not for that in any way, shape, or form. You got to do the little things better. You know, even with the disaster that was the first possession of the third quarter sequence down on the 2-yard line. I mean, look, JOK makes a perfect play, right? Loads up, hits Terry McLaurin cleanly, forces the fumble, two nice Deshaun plays to Amari to get him down to the two, and then everything falls apart. Even with all of that, he had a wide open Jerry Jeudy in the corner of the end zone, right? In the mesh, he puts his hand up, he's there, he doesn't see him. They can still score and get in that game. It's those little things, like when the protection is good, he may not see it, and when the protection is bad, he can still make, like, rarely does everything sync up at the same time. You just need that to sync up at the same time. I'm not an excuse maker. I still go back to, we saw enough good in Vegas. Like, there was an 82-yard touchdown pass that happened that gave them the lead and they're likely winning. That got called back on what we still all agree is a suspect call. So there is good there. You just need more of it.
Do they need to run the ball more? Is the
absolutely. Okay. Yes. But, I mean, that didn't work this past week. The Commanders came out, and that D-line was better than the Browns O-line, period, full stop. They controlled the line of scrimmage. So they were not able to run the football, and a lot of those running numbers were padded late when the game was already over. So they need to run the – look, they need to do something better on first down. If it's run the football, that's great. If it's short passing, that's great. But they can't keep getting behind the sticks because their third downs aren't third and twos. They're third and eights. And third and eights, nobody wins except the defense.
What would you like to see out of Deshaun Watson to make him a better quarterback? Or is it a matter of the offensive line? What would you like to see him change or do? Or
oh, it's clearly both.
Yeah.
It is clearly both. And that's the thing. One plays well, the other doesn't. And that's what you're trying to get is both of them getting enough consecutive plays together where everything is working. You saw the opening drive of the Raiders game, 15 plays, 9.5 minutes off the clock. Like I said, it can be done. But what I would like, and listen, I am not a Dan Orlovsky, Kurt Warner, all 22. This goes, like, this is your read and this is where your eye should be. I am never going to pretend to be able to be a coach here and tell you that there's an open guy running here, there's an open guy running there. But when it is there, you got to be confident. You got to rip it. And there are plays to be made. You just got to take the layups more consistently. And he's also making plays when it isn't there. Like the touchdown to Amari that got called back in Vegas, that was a great impromptu. Hey, you moved up in the pocket. You jumped. You got drilled. I mean, he got drilled on that play and still delivered a great pass. You're just not stringing it up with those together consistently.
other teams have offensive line issues, don't seem to have offensive line issues that dominate what we see on the field. I think we've kind of seen that from the Browns. They haven't figured it out. Why? What do you think's going on?
That's a great question, and I don't have an answer for you, Andy. That's a great answer. The Browns in years past have been able to overcome offensive line injuries. They have not been able to do that this year. They simply have not. But they got to find a way to do that, and they got to find a way as well to put on tape and tell other teams that on third down, when you bring the house, we're going to pick it up. We're going to protect our quarterback, because they get in third long. And, I mean, it's not a secret what the other teams are doing. They smell blood in third long. They bring the pressure. A lot of it's up the middle, and the line's not holding up. It's just not happening. And when you have that on tape, teams going to exploit it until you prove that you can stop it.
How does an NFL team that's 1-4 suddenly learn how to tackle? Because tackling seems to be a big issue for this defense that is kind of big. If the offense wasn't so bad, I wonder what we'd really be saying about the defense right now. But, you know, it's just when you look statistically across the board, the Browns defense is meh. They're right there in the middle.
I still think it's good enough to win, and it's obviously performing at a more consistent level than the offense. I think we could all agree on that. Yeah, they've missed too many tackles. I thought last week it was certainly – look, what's frustrating is there are dozens of great tackles on tape. It's the breakdown here, the breakdown there, and then those breakdowns go for huge plays, right? I mean, they talked all last week about getting back to the tackling fundamentals, and 90% of the time they're fine. 95% of the time they're fine. It's the 5% that you're not fine that kill you, and those go for explosives. I mean, look, again, look at how the game opened last week. You force a three and out. Washington had gone a couple of weeks without punting. Tressway was on the side of a milk carton. The guy was golfing all week. He doesn't need to be at football practice. You forced a three and out immediately. Second drive, you look good as well. Now, granted, he gave up the long scramble play, or I'm sorry, the play that Jaden Daniels made on the run where he hit McLaurin deep, but then you forced the turnover right after that. JOK played his tail off, by the way. But also give Jaden Daniels credit. I mean, that was a ridiculous throw by a ridiculous player on the run. That was an amazing play. I know I'm rambling away from the tackling conversation.
Sorry.
It's hard in the NFL when you don't tackle, obviously, during, certainly don't practice tackling during the season. You know, you don't bring anyone into the ground. So it's hard to pick those fundamentals back up.
You talked about optimism earlier. Andy and I usually err on the side of being optimistic. I pointed this out the other day, and I don't think this is being optimistic as much as it is being realistic. Even with all of the nonsense, you're two games out in the division.
Correct.
And
isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
Like, look at Robert Saleh got fired with a chance.
Yes.
And they're 2-3.
They could be in first place.
With a chance to go into first on Monday night.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes me think, okay, get it together and let's make this thing a season.
Get it together and just look, get into a position where you could play meaningful games in October. It's being overly optimistic. It's a glass half full and it's trying to speak it into existence. Like Kevin said last week, let's get a Guardians Phillies World Series. Let's speak it into existence. If the Browns can find a way to win, and it's a new week, people, it is a new week. If they can find a way to win this week, the optimism of coming home for three games, three-game homestand, right, against teams you can beat. Yeah,
where they were, what, 8-1 last year at home?
Yes. Yes, yes. Not your own two this year, but 8-1 last year.
Yep.
It'll feel a lot different next week.
I'll give you another.
You can get a win this week. Go ahead.
Yeah, just Nick Chubb, too. Possibility of Nick Chubb being back.
Exactly. Yeah. And look, Kevin's going to speak in, what, 25 minutes? So we'll get an update there. I would assume they're going to give him as much of a runway as possible. And I'd be mildly surprised if he played this week. I think it's better get him at home, get him on the grass. That's just me, right? I think we see him next week. But yeah, imagine that energy for coming off a win and you're back at home and Nick Chubb's coming out of the tunnel. Mm. Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be awesome.
Look forward to hearing you on Sunday.
Both Dave, fresh off of Dave Matthews and Q-Tip bringing the house down the night before.
It's true. It's true. You,
by the way, yours truly has probably been to 35 Dave Matthews concerts. Nice. So, yeah,
we look forward to hearing you and not Dave Matthews on Sunday. Thank you, buddy.
What would you say if they won, though? See what I did there?
Yeah, I did.
That was nice.
I saw him once. That was enough for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Wow. You're awesome. Thank you, sir. Sorry. Goodbye.
Andrew Siciliano joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He'll be calling the game Browns Eagles coming up on Sunday. Browns got to do it. Chris Rose, NFL Network, our buddy who does a great day on game day final, Browns preseason TV, next on Baskin and Felberg. From diehard Guardians fan, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline right here on Baskin and Phelps. Good morning, sir.
Hello, Chris.
Hello.
It's only baseball. That's why you can't get all excited about just losing a baseball game, except if you lose three, you're done. So you have three games to win two. Where's your gut right now when it comes to the Guardians and the Tigers?
Yeah, I mean, nervous. It's great to be nervous. And, you know, there's eight teams left, and I think you can make a legitimate argument for all eight teams winning this darn thing. I don't think you can always do that. For us, it's pretty simple. We've got to put rallies together, you know, we've got to string some hits together. And we only faced Montero once in the regular season. He did a number on us in a 1-0 game in early July. He pitched the other day out of the pen in game one. I mean, he's a guy that's got really, really good stuff. His problem has been the walks. And, you know, that'll be interesting. It's the first playoff game in Detroit in a decade. And so, you know, they're turning it over to a rookie. They're not going to ask him to get six innings, but as many as he can give them. And the question's going to be whether or not he's in the strike zone. And if he's in the strike zone, he's tough to hit. Like, his stuff's really good. But this is incumbent on us. It's, you know, short series. You don't have time to wait and have guys heat up. It's got to go.
Chris, what do you think about Alex Cobb going today? He's, you know, been limited in his time. Hopefully his fingers. Jeff and I both said we think this is the right call to go with him today.
Yeah. I mean, they don't really have another direction. I just don't think that Gavin Williams is consistent enough. So, yeah, you're asking a guy who's thrown a little bit more than 15 innings all year long to keep you in a game. I would think that the goal is to get him through the Tigers lineup once, kind of see where he is from there. But you don't, once again, you don't have a lot of time to waste. Managers are criticized for keeping guys in either too long or not giving them enough rope at this time of year. And, you know, that's the biggest key here. I actually think that Steven Vogt has done a pretty good job through two games so far. In that area, it's just now kind of up to the players to start delivering a bit more.
Chris, like, I can feel the pressure in your voice on this thing, and I kind of like the best of five. I mean, I know the best of seven might give you a better feel for who might truly be the better team, but do you like best of five here? Jeff and I have been...
I hate it, Chris.
I like it. Jeff hates it.
Yeah, but we've been doing this for years. This is nothing new. This is the hardest sport, I think, for the best team throughout the season to win.
Agreed. Well, that's a great comment.
It just is. And I just think we have to accept it. You know, it's also the sport where the best player doesn't always make the playoffs. I mean, we've waited 7 years to finally see Shohei in the playoffs. That usually doesn't happen in the NFL. It never happens in the NBA or the NHL for the most part. It's just what makes... I know that it feels like there's a little bit of randomness to it, and that's not always the best feeling because you really want to feel like the best team wins. But I think we just have to kind of accept it. And ever since they've put in the buys over the last couple of years, then it really has thrown kind of a different layer into it. In the National League, you've got the two best teams on the cusp of being eliminated today. And you've got the two teams that received the bye in the American League in 1-1 series going on the road now. So it's daunting. I still think that if you ask every major league team, they would rather have the bye than not have the bye. But it's something to overcome. That's a real thing.
Chris, through your work with baseball over the years and the Rose Rotation now, your great podcast, you get to talk to a lot of baseball folks. How I wonder if they've ever addressed this. You know, during the season, it's 162 games, and it's consistency and doing it day after day and having the same approach and not freaking out about something that goes wrong, maybe on a daily or even a weekly basis. You know, you stick with the program. Then you get to the playoffs. Can you keep that same mentality? Because that's what makes teams successful. Because if you freak out, if you panic, if guys try and change, is that good? Has that ever come up with guys?
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, there's an extra off day built in the American League series this year because of television. So it's hard to kind of get ramped up for both, I think, the Yankees and the Guardians, because, right, they both receive, you know, 4 full days off before they're back in competition. For the Guardians, it was an extra day because they got rained out at the last day of the regular season. Then you play a game, then you're off, then you play a game, then you're off. That does not happen once the season starts. It just doesn't. Now, maybe you might get a rain out where you're playing one day, you have a scheduled off day the next, and then a rain out happens. You know, maybe that'll pop up once a year or something, but certainly not at the time where you're supposed to be peaking and you're most amped up to play a game. There's just no way around it. It's the way it is. So you just, I think guys learn to deal with it. And also, I do think one other thing, while we are all sitting here pushing the panic button, saying, how the heck are we going to win the next 2 games? Because we have to, because Scooble's waiting for us in game 5. That is not the way that players think. They just don't. I don't know why, because you would think they would, but they are just, they're focused on today and we'll deal with today. And we're not like, they're not sitting there saying, we have got to win 3 and 4 in Detroit or we've got no shot. That's how we think. I know it's how we think, but not them.
All right, Chris, let me ask you, this is probably the easiest question I've ever asked you in the entire time that I've known you.
Great.
How do you fix the Browns? That's easy.
Excellent. Go ahead, Chris.
And if you could do it in less than 3 minutes, that'd be great too.
Yeah, what I would do is kill your brakes for the next 28 hours. And I'm not even so sure we could do that. The answer is I don't know. I would have liked to have seen Jameis come in with a quarter to play last week. There's a reason I'm not poking around there, because I feel like I don't want to find out exactly what's going on. And there's a lot up in the air in terms of when you don't make the most significant move that you can make, the danger is losing a locker room, right? Guys realize when certain people aren't playing well, is this all on Deshaun? We can all look at film. We can all scour social media and try and figure out which person who's breaking down film is telling us the right thing and this and that and the other thing. I'm fortunate. I get to work with people who actually did this for a living and were in the battle. And so I'm getting clips sent to me on a regular basis. And it's not overwhelmingly supportive of a $230 million player. It's just not. And I don't know if that fixes it immediately, because I do think that there are other significant shortcomings that many of us did not see in the preseason. But I would like to see somebody else at the helm at some point.
The offensive line, it's interesting.
Perfect.
The offensive line issues don't seem to be going away. So how do you overcome those, as other teams have done?
Yeah, and we did last year.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we understand you're going from one of the legendary offensive line coaches to, I don't know what Coach Dickerson, like, how good he is. I know he was in Seattle. I know there were a couple of guys who have developed in recent years up there. And I haven't been around the team enough to know exactly how. But when you're going from one of the best to somebody else, there's going to be a bit of a drop-off there. Yeah, guys, it's all part of the problem. There's nothing worse than an offensive line that is either not talented or not playing well. I can give you an example. In a week and a half, I'm going to be in London calling the Patriots-Jaguars game. So I've been watching every New England Patriots game. It's brutal. Like, their offensive line, they've had five different starting offensive line combinations, and not one of them is close to being good. So every snap, our buddy Jacoby Brissett is running for his life. And I don't think it's that bad in Cleveland, but I think the combination of not great offensive line play and not outstanding decision-making by a quarterback has gotten it to the point where it looks horrific with those five guys up there.
All right, don't get too nervous today. Thank you for your assessments on both teams, and keep your fingers crossed all the way around. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, Chris.
Not fingers crossed. I'm excited. I'm excited and nervous.
Yes.
Goodbye.
That's why you can cross your fingers. That helps. Takes the tension out of your head and out of your chest and puts it in your fingers.
Yeah. Makes sense.
There you go.
All right, boys. Totally.
See you, bud. Chris Rose joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We've heard from Siciliano. We've heard from Rose. How about if we hear from Stefanski? Coach of the Browns coming up next.